I want to welcome everyone here this morning for Easter Sunday at St. Rose, especially for those who may be coming in from far away, visiting family. If it's your first time at St. Rose, a very special welcome. It's great to have you here. It is true that Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is our risen King. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
So much joy in this house this morning. Easter is the feast of joy. It's the feast of new life. It's the feast of hope. But this year, I want to talk about Easter as the feast of connection. The feast of connection. I feel so blessed this morning because here in the third pew, my mom and dad are here visiting, and we're having some reconnecting over Easter. It's the first time in 10 years we've been together for Easter. And so it's so awesome to be able to have you here, mom and dad. And yeah, welcome. Welcome. They've been from Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and it's been great to reconnect with them. It's been great to connect them to a lot of my friends, a lot of our parishioners here at St. Rose, and have this time together. It's just been great. It's a short time, though, so in a few days, you know, I'll be driving to the airport to drop them off at the curb, and we'll have to disconnect in person at least for a little bit, and mom will shed a few tears, as she usually does, but we'll reconnect over the phone and with FaceTime and all kinds of things. It'll just be a temporary disconnection. But, you know, for those three holy women in the gospel today, they experienced a different kind of disconnection. The one they loved was crucified and was buried. If your call gets disconnected, you just wait a moment and call someone back, but that's not going to happen for this. The one they loved, the one they followed, the one who revealed to them what life is all about, he's totally severed from them, totally disconnected. And they come to mourn, to grieve, to pay their respects. This last Tuesday, we all woke up to seeing another kind of disconnection that happened in our country, where we saw the images from Baltimore of the Francis Scott Key Bridge that was struck by that ship and just collapsed in seconds. Lives were lost, people were hurt. The port of Baltimore, which is one of the busiest ones in the world, is basically closed for who knows how long. There's 10,000 workers who are just out of jobs. So much damage, so much destruction, all caused from the loss of one point of connection. Just a mile and a half bridge. A bridge that we've been over as a family several times growing up. Did you know that in the early church, some of the early Christian writers, they talked about salvation with the image of a bridge? They said that in the beginning when God created humanity, that there was this bridge between us and God where we exchanged love and goodness and friendship so easily. But that when sin and selfishness and death entered into the world, that bridge collapsed. And we were disconnected from God, the source of life and love. And no matter what human beings have tried to do, no one has been able to build a bridge to cross over the waters of death. No one. But on Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, begin to discover that God was doing something new. That God had built a connection so strong, it was even stronger than the disconnection of death. That God, in raising his son Christ from the dead, had built a new bridge to reconnect us through Jesus' resurrection and through the forgiveness of our sins. And this bridge is not a thing, it's not an object, it's a person. Jesus Christ is the bridge. And when Mary Magdalene encountered her friend and her Lord that Easter morning once again, she was filled with joy. She was reconnected with the one who she loved and who loved her. And she would never be disconnected again from him. And she passed on that good news to all the disciples, all the apostles, who would then see Jesus raised. And we still have that good news with us today. The bad news is that if you're disconnected from God, you're actually disconnected from everything. And everyone. God is the source of life and love, and if we're disconnected from him, we don't have access to that. Like, if you've ever wondered in your life, like why can I never seem to, like, be filled? Or why are things just so hard? Or why can I never find what I'm looking for? There's always something missing. I'm looking for more. It may be because you're disconnected from God, who is the source of everything that's meant to fill us and give us life. But Mary Magdalene gives us the good news this morning that now it is possible to be reconnected to God for all of us. All of us can be reconnected to God and never have to be apart. I love the dialogue with people of all religions, all faiths, and also those of no faith. And this last week I was really struck by this comment that an atheist made and trying to give a description to what is Christianity. And this atheist said, you know what Christianity is? Christianity is this. The belief that one God made the entire universe 14 billion years ago and filled it with 200 billion trillion stars so huge just to have a personal relationship with you. And you know what? That's spot on. God did do all that. He made all this. He made the glory of the heavens, and not only that, he raised his son Christ from the dead and showed him to eyewitnesses and poured out the Spirit upon his church so that you and I could have a personal relationship with him, that you and I could be reconnected to God, that you and I could receive his love, receive his life, and have hope that nothing can take this away. Now that Christ is risen and has become the everlasting bridge to God, nothing can disconnect you from God. Not your sins, not your weaknesses, not your problems, not even your physical death can keep you from the love of God in Christ. And this is the good news of Easter, the feast of connection. So what do we do with that? What does that even mean? And if Christ is this new bridge to be reconnected to God, the source of all life and love, how do I begin to cross that bridge? Well, first of all, get connected to Jesus. Know him. Know his teachings. Listen to his word. Put your faith in him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Even with faith the size of a mustard seed that just says, Jesus, connect me to God. Or, Jesus, come into my life. Or even just, Jesus, help me. That's a great place to start. That's a great prayer. Secondly, be baptized. Jesus commands his followers to be baptized because when you are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that bridge that's outside of you now comes inside of you. God puts the bridge into your soul, indestructibly, always there. So be baptized and repent of your sins and believe in God. And finally, stay connected to God through his church. His church is the community he established to keep that connection with him alive and vibrant and strong. We don't walk across the bridge to the kingdom of God as individuals alone. We do it together. We do it as a family, as a community, as a church. And in doing so, we strengthen one another. We mutually reinforce one another on the way. And we discover as a community, we discover as a spiritual family, that actually together, we become living bridges for the world. That I now have a mission, that I now have a special purpose, that God wants the divine cargo of his life and his love to come into the world through us, that everyone can be reconnected, and no one has to be apart or cut off or severed ever again. This is the good news that Mary Magdalene shares with us today, an eyewitness that Christ is risen, and this is the feast of connection. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you now, you who are baptized, you who are believers, and even you who maybe aren't a believer and aren't baptized, but you don't want anything to do with the evil of disconnection and separation in your life. You want life. You want more. You want joy. I invite all of you now to stand as we renew our baptismal promises this morning.